Anyway, I got something on my heart to share today. You could say it's a sermon, but I feel like it's more of a family talk. I feel like it is, you know, geared for those of you who call Life Tree home. So if you're visiting today, I trust that there will be some stuff in here. I mean, we are going to read the Bible, so there should be something, you know, in it that can affect your life. But this is a bit to do with a focus we're taking, something the Lord is just adding to the plate, I guess. So anyways, as we go in, I just want to say, I feel like this is family talk for those of us who call Life Tree home. And hopefully along the way, those visiting pick up some tidbits. Jesus, we ask that your word would go forth and accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it, that it would bear fruit in our lives today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Where I want to start today is Psalm 78. We're going to read Psalm 78, verse 1 to 11, okay? And then we'll jump off from there. it goes like this. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling them, where'd I go? We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. There's my children. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. And what I want to point out in this is there's this thing going on at the beginning where he's saying, listen, I'm going to tell you about these things that we've known from long ago. We're not going to hide them from our children. Our hope is that they would tell their children and their children. And what he's talking about, he says this, telling to the generations, this is in verse 4, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. And so he's saying, listen, we're going to tell these kids the testimonies about the things God has done. God appointed a law in Israel. Essentially, the law was their scriptures. We're going to teach our kids the scriptures. We're going to tell our kids about the things that God has done. And it says this, that the generation to come, this in verse 6, so we're going to tell them this stuff, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. So they're going to pass it on to the next generation too. And why? In verse 7, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that they may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. In other words, there's something about passing on from generation to generation knowledge of the word and testimonies of what God has done, what we have seen God do. As we pass that on, it actually has within it the power to keep that generation on track in following God and walking in his ways. Exposure to who God is and what he has done has on it the ability to help keep them on track. And then it says this in verse 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. So what do we see? We see this picture that the children of Ephraim, they have their weapons in hand. They are armed and equipped and ready for battle. And yet in the day of battle, it says they turned back. Why? Because they forgot the amazing works that God had done. They lost sight of who God was because they weren't equipped in their mind the knowledge of who God is and what he's like. By hearing the testimonies, they turned back in fear, although they were equipped for the battle. And particularly, I want to focus today in on this, that it's about passing on to the kids who God is and what he's like. It's about teaching them the word. It's about telling them about what we've seen God do. It's about exposing them to the supernatural, exposing them to the reality of a living, active relationship with God. And you know, we've been talking a lot over the last few weeks about our need to have vision. We've been saying, you know, without vision, the people perish. We need to have a vision for what we're doing. And I feel like this thing that God is calling me to, but I feel like it's for us as a community to really embrace on a whole nother level, discipling the children. It's not to say that we haven't been doing that, that we haven't valued that. I just feel like God is wanting to take us to another level of raising up the next generation. And we can talk all about having vision, but I remember hearing this thing when I was in school ministry. Chris Valentin would say to us, you know, you can have a vision, but without a strategy, without goals, and without implementation, your vision is just a pipe dream. It's just this lofty thing out there that you can talk about it, you can get excited about it. But when the Lord gives a vision, he can give you strategy and actual steps to take to move towards it. He actually wants it to happen. He doesn't want it just some lofty dream and that's that. My dad always says, you know, we can have stated values and practice values that don't actually align and match. We can say we care about this, right? And I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying we haven't been doing it. I just feel like the Lord is wanting to, you know, notch it up another level. And we want, how many of you want to change the world? How many of you want to shape history? How many of you want to see society reformed, our culture impacted by the kingdom? I'm telling you, children are key to seeing this happen. We can pray for amazing breakthrough with leaders who are in office already and, you know, people in all these spheres, and that's great. God can break through into anybody's life, but there is something about starting with a kid at a young age and just being able to sow the gospel and the reality of the kingdom into their life, that you are raising up the leaders of tomorrow. I've heard a saying said often, today's children are tomorrow's leaders. That's the slogan for Hope for the Nations, which is a missions organization that focuses on children at risk. And we hear that and we go, oh yeah, amen, right? And we rally around and we celebrate this idea as we see in these developing nations, people working with children, and as a result, these, you know, tomorrow's leaders being discipled with the gospel. What about here at home? What about, like, not just out there, what about right here at home in our own church community? What about behind the doors of our own houses for those of us who are currently raising kids? You know, right here and now, not just out there, but right here on a Sunday morning, we can be making lasting impact on the world in the generations to come by sowing into children. And I want to be a part, I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a community that is intentionally and dynamically investing into the next generation. That we could really be, you know, changing the world one Sunday at a time with the children's ministry, but not just a teaching, but engaging them with God, engaging them with the kingdom. Because, you know, God is a multi-generational God. He's referred to throughout the Old Testament as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not just this guy, it's the whole, all the generations together, right? And Jesus says the thing to us, go into all the world, make disciples of the nations. What a great field right here with our own kids. What a simple place to start. And in scripture, it's repeated again and again and again. Teach your children this stuff so that they can teach their children and they can teach their children and so on and so on and so on. That it would perpetuate, that there'd be momentum building. We really can, I believe this, that we can really have our ceiling be their floor. Anybody heard that saying before? That the foundation of our life, instead of them having to start at square one, where God has brought us can be square one for them. And that we would see momentum build. There has been, you know, statistics out there that I've seen that are terrifying to see how many kids come up in church and when they get older, they just walk away. And I don't want to see that for our kids. I want to see us pour in effectively, that they get infected with a passion for the kingdom, that they get exposed to the reality of who God is at work, alive, living in their lives today. And this is key to us changing the world, seeing reformation in society, seeing culture shifted. And why are kids so important? I believe the call to disciple them at a young age is so crucial because kids are extremely impressionable. Anybody know that? Anybody believe that? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not. depart from it. So you sow this in, you build this foundation at a young age, and as they get older, it'll bear fruit. It'll come around. Right now, Telsey and I, we have four kids. We decided to throw a puppy into the mix anyway. And we've had this puppy now for almost a month. And you know, everything I'm reading about it is saying, like, train these things when they're young. Like, the first 6 months is crucial. There are things that they learn in the 6 months, whether good or bad, they're going to haunt you for, you know, years to come. And sorry to relate, you know, discipling kids to training a dog, but there's some similarities, you know. It's like when we get it at a young age in their lives, we can anticipate fruit for years to come, and not just in their life, but in generations to come. This is like practical, simple, change the world stuff right here in front of us all the time. Or what about, you know, if you're pouring concrete on a job site, doing construction, you know, when is the time that you want to form that concrete into whatever shape you want it to take? When it's freshly poured. You know, you wait too long, you're going to have to break it all apart and start all over again. How many people have you seen or been yourself at some point where God had to, you know, break you down before you got on track? That was my story. I mean, I want to see kids who are just like running with the gospel from a young age, seeing God move. And I feel like there's some stuff, like scripture gives us some keys. And so I want to just look this morning at a few things about, you know, how do we approach this? There's some stuff in Deuteronomy we're going to look at. It's a little bit repetitive, but there's keys in each part. So in Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 and 10, this is what it says. It says, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children.'" Find it interesting, he's saying, teach your kids, teach your grandkids. Especially concerning the day you stood before me at Horeb, and I spoke to them. I spoke to the children of Israel. In other words, especially expose them to your real encounters with me. Tell them about when you have encountered me. Tell them about when I've spoken to you, when you've had this, you know, the impact of that encounter on your life. Impart it to them. Share it with them. Tell them about it. And then there is in chapter 6, verse 6 to 9. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." In other words, talk about these things that you've heard. Talk about these things you've seen. But I love it says, teach them to your kids diligently. Be intentional about it. Talk about it when you're walking, you know, coming and going. Talk about it when you're sitting down to eat. Write it all over your house. Find ways to put it in front of them. And then on in chapter 11, verse 18 to 21, similar to what we just read, says, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth." In other words, listen, you want to see that your kids live long in this promised land that I have sworn to your fathers? You want to see their days multiplied in there? Teach them these things. Talk to them about the amazing things that you saw me do when I delivered you from Egypt. Tell them about the things that I have commanded, that I have called you to walk in. In other words, like, teach them the scriptures. Teach them the testimonies. Tell them the stories. And with that, you will see them last long. You'll see their days multiplied in the promised land. We want to see our kids go on in the kingdom, advancing the kingdom, passionate about the gospel. Expose them to the word. Expose them to what we've seen. I know I'm repeating it over and over and over again, but it's just I see it over and over again in the Word. And here's this thing right here. This is in Judges chapter 2. And this is about, you know, the impact of a kid being exposed to the supernatural. That's what I want to point out in here. It says this in verse 7. So this is Judges chapter 2, verse 7. We're going to read all the way to verse 12. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. And then verse 8 and 9, I'll paraphrase, Joshua died. When all that generation had, now verse 10, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. So what do we see? We see in verse 7, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. So as long as this generation who had seen the great works that the Lord had done for Israel were around, they served God. But then in verse 10, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and so on and so forth. So here we see a breakdown in the very thing that they were called to do, right? This stuff hadn't been passed on. They weren't exposed to the supernatural. They weren't exposed to these works that God had done. And as a result, it says, then they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They began to serve other gods. They began to be influenced by the nations and the cultures around them instead of influencing the nations and the culture around them. And how similar is that today to what we live in, where kids come up, and because something hasn't been passed on, what do? They end up right into the world system around them, influenced by it versus influencing the culture, right? And we can see again, if we refer back to where we started in Psalm 78, these children of Ephraim who were armed for battle, they turned back. Why? Because they forgot the Lord and his marvelous works. And so, although they're armed, although they're equipped, because they've lost sight of this, they turn back. Our kids are going into a war zone. Anybody believe that? We live in a war zone. Our kids aren't going into it. They're in it, you know, all around it. And we want to see them succeed. We want to see them go forth, not just survive, but actually advancing the kingdom in that context. And I really believe that there's something about exposing them to real, authentic relationship with God, not just simply, here, memorize this Bible verse. Now, I'm all for that. I think they got to get the word in them. I can, out of what we read from Psalm 78, say, definitely, let's teach them the word. Let's teach them the scriptures. But there's also got to be, expose them to the reality of the kingdom, this active, living God who engages with people. And I know from my kids, how many of you know yourself, you've wrestled at some point, is this gospel for real? Like, is this Jesus guy really died for my sins, raised from the dead? Is he actually alive in heaven today? Is this just crazy stuff or is this for real? Anybody ever wrestle with that? Come on. I do. You know, I get hit with it. You work out your faith. You got to, you know, you dig your heels in. You search it out. And anyway, I know for me, the thing I always come back to, like, I'm way too deep down this rabbit hole. I've seen too much to turn back. And the thing that really sticks out for me is the miracles, the stuff that I've seen that I just have no other explanation for, but that God showed up when we were praying and responded and did something. Like, I think back to, there was a guy in a wheelchair for 30 years. He got up and started walking, and his wife was in tears, and he was in tears, and I was rocked. And I remember that. I remember the guy who had a severed nerve in his neck and his left arm was paralyzed for 10 years. And he starts moving his arm and he's in tears as he moves his arm for the first time in 10 years. I remember the tumor disappearing from a woman's leg with a doctor there verifying the whole thing. I remember, you know, on and on I go. I've seen this stuff that I'm just like, oh my, you know, it's a miracle. It's amazing. And that stuff acts as an anchor point for me where I'm like, how can I not believe. And for my kids, I'll ask them, I'll say, so where are you at? What do you believe? Do you believe God's real? Like I just straight ask them, right? And they'll go, yeah. And I'm like, well, why do you believe? Because I don't want to hear them say, well, I believe because you told me to believe, you know, and I believe, you know, you said it. So I want them to have something that they're anchored to. And often my kids, when I ask them, why do you believe this? They refer back to, well, you told me about that time there was the guy in the wheelchair and he got healed. And you told me about the tumor, right? Right? They repeat to me these stories that I've told them. And these stories, although they weren't there, because I've told them, they act as anchor points for them where they're like, well, that's it right there. There's the proof in the pudding. There's the evidence right there. And I know even for Elijah, my oldest, we had an experience last summer that stuck with him. We were down at what used to be Canwest Mall. It's West Shore Shopping Center or something like that now. And we were down there last summer, and there was this girl we saw, and she was on crutches, and she had a cast on her leg. And I just felt a pull in my heart to go pray for her. I said, Elijah, let's go pray for this girl. And, you know, he's already old enough now where he's kind of like, that's kind of weird, and he's a little, like, awkward, and, you know, go talk to strangers. I don't know about this. But anyways, I'm dad, and he came along with me. And so we approach this girl and her mom, and I say, hey, you know, like, I was wondering if I could pray for you, tell her a few stories, and I'd love to pray for you. Can we do that? And so she's open. So we pray for this girl. She had broken her leg 2 weeks prior. She was in pain when we approached her, and she ends up carrying her crutches, walking through Canwest Mall, amazed, and her mom was crying, and she was crying, and then this person they knew at the jeweler store, you know, I saw them go talk to this person after we said goodbye to them, and that person was like, what just happened? Anyway, so like when I ask Elijah, you know, why do you believe? He goes, well, that girl, like he referred, it's a year later now, right? And he still refers back to this thing that he saw with his own eyes that he was a part of with me praying for this girl a year ago. And so I believe that exposing them to this, you know, it's key to keeping them on track, to giving them a hunger, making them like, they're going to love that, obviously. And there's also something just about telling them our stories. Even if they're not getting exposed to seeing it, telling them, oh, there was this time we were like so tight on money. We didn't know how we were going to pay the bills. We prayed and God showed up and he provided. And you tell these stories to them. That's going to impact them. Because how many of you are familiar with this scripture, Revelations 19:10? We quote it here often. It says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so when you testify to something that Jesus has done, it actually has a prophetic power on the testimony that says, if he's done it before, he'll do it again. Right? And so when you speak this testimony into your kid's life, there's actually prophetic anointing and power on it that's going to impact their life. It's declaring to them who God is and what he's like. And so for me, it's like I want to see us as a community respond to this call to raise up a generation who's going to stand in this world as a light for the gospel, as an influencer of the nation. Anybody want to be a part of that? It's good, we can clap, that's awesome. Yes, I do. You know, how many of you were here last week and heard Andrew? You saw the video that he shared. Well, if you weren't here, I'll just tell you, there was a video that he showed, and there's this pastor in Uganda, and he's working in this slum in Kampala, and he's been there now for 10 years, and when he went into this slum, right away, he started targeting kids who were just troublemakers out in the street. And these kids started coming to his church because they had nothing better to do, and it was somewhere to get food, and it was somewhere to dance and have fun and whatever, right? And they started hanging around. And now you're seeing these young adults, these men who are like 18 to early 20s or whatever, being interviewed in this video. And they're talking about their passion to see their nation transformed. They're talking about how they believe God is going to use them through the arts to influence their generation. They're all like sharing this hope to see transformation in their nation. And it's as a result of getting connected to this guy who didn't just say, hey, let's go down to that neighborhood next weekend and like do a program for the kids. No, he actually came in, and he's been there 10 years working with these kids, and now these are the up-and-coming leaders, the guys who, instead of being guys who just are hopeless and see nothing but despair around them, they're talking hope, they're talking vision to see their community changed. I want to see that here at home. You know, we can show up here every Sunday and just receive, and nothing wrong with receiving. But Jesus said it, Telsey quoted it earlier, better to give than to receive. You know, we have an opportunity. Yes, it's missions out there, but it's right here. Like, there's actual evangelism, work with the gospel, kingdom advancement to be done right here on a Sunday amongst these kids and amongst each other. But there's something we can do that's lasting the generation to come right here, right now, every week. Those of you raising kids in your house, behind your own doors, you can be shaping history, changing the world 7 days a week with those little guys that sometimes get on your nerves, I know. But, you know, pour in. It's opportunity. Maybe you're not raising kids. Maybe you're just here and you're like, you know what? Yeah, let's embrace this. Let's, as a community, get hold of this. That when we come here on a Sunday, that it would be way more a focus of how are we going to change the world? How are we going to shape history by coming here on a Sunday versus just coming and sitting and, you know, right? I want to have like such a dynamic thing happening here with the kids that the kids are like begging their parents. We're going to be late. Come on, we got to go. Hurry up, get ready. You know, like they're at home going, let's go. Or when my son brings kids from his hockey team, that those kids would be like tugging on their parents, take me to church. I want to go to church. Like they want to come back, right? That they're getting impacted in a radical way. I want to train kids. I want us to train kids to follow Jesus, not the crowd. Because how many of you know that the world right now, there's a strategy at work to disciple our kids? In the media, there's a very intentional strategy to disciple the next generation. In the education system, there is an intentional, diligent strategy to disciple the next generation. I want us to have a strategy to disciple the next generation. That isn't just reactionary, you know, but that is intentional and focused, that's based on the word that we're going after. Because here's the thing. Whether you're trying to or not, we are discipling our kids. And the question really is about the intentionality, the focus of it. How are we doing it, right? Are we diligent in it as we're called to? Because it is, like we said, it is a war that they're in, that we're all in together. And there's that awesome scripture that says that, it says like the children of one's youth are like arrows in the hand of a warrior, right? I find it so interesting that these children are referred to like weapons in the hand of a warrior. It speaks, it alludes to this thing that there is a war to be fought. And here we are with this opportunity to send them forth in power, with anointing, with a knowledge of who their God is, with a conviction that causes them to stay on that path of aggressively walking with him and pursuing him all the days of their life. And like I said earlier, I don't want to just see us equipping our kids for survival in this world, but for advancement of the kingdom, for influence, for leadership. It's like, come on. So my heart in sharing this is not to be like, oh man, we're blowing it and, you know, doing it, raising up the kids in this place. That's not it at all. My hope is that we would, like, I think it's awesome what's happened here. I can look at people I know now who are young adults who are still walking with the Lord, and I know that the impact that Doris had on them when they were little kids in Sunday school in this church has to do with why they're serving the Lord today. And so I'm convinced, like, we've seen it happen. I just feel like the Lord's saying, let's take it to another level. Let's do this. And so my hope in sharing this is, one, to give people who are raising kids vision to do this at home. My hope is that we as a church would embrace it and have a vision to shape history every Sunday when we come, every time we interact with a kid. You know, my hope is that we would see the opportunity, that we wouldn't be all like down and kicking ourselves and saying, oh, you're doing a horrible job and you suck at this or anything like that, but that we would just see opportunity before us. We would see the potential, right? That's it. So I don't know if it was a sermon or a family talk like I called it, but there you go. So let's pray, okay? Jesus, we do. We want to see this world change. We want to see society transformed. And God, we know it's by your grace alone that this can happen. We know that it's by your Spirit at work in us. You know, we just want to be a people who say yes. Yes to you, yes to what you want to accomplish in this generation, in the generations to come. God, we all want to make a mark. We all want a significant role played in your kingdom. And God, I ask that you would use us, each individual here, and us as a whole, as a body, as a community, would be used to shape history. That the generations to come would look different because there was a group of people who said yes. A group of people who said, yeah, I will go. God, send me. Send me to Sunday school. Send me to wherever it is. Send me across the hallway into my kid's bedroom. Whatever it is, God, use us to raise up this generation to be mighty warriors who advance your kingdom, who have a passion for you, who know who you are, who have seen you move in financial miracles, who have seen you move in healing, who have seen you move in changing people's lives. God, we want to see your Spirit move in power. We want to see our kids engaged with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Well, we have communion set up. We do communion first Sunday every month. Thank you, Paul and Shirley, for helping make that happen. And I want to welcome you guys to come out, grab some juice, grab some bread, gather together in a small group, 3 to 5 people or so. This is an opportunity to share your needs with one another, to pray for one another. Paul made the statement that we are remembering Jesus' death and resurrection through this every time we do it. And in that, he paid for everything we need. Paul says that if he gave his son, how much more will he give us all things? And so pray for one another, pray into the needs as we receive this communion today. Amen. Be blessed. Have an amazing day, amazing week.